When I was a kid, we used to have congregation sing-alongs led by my dad on his guitar, and one of the songs that I remember fondly is called "Give Me That Old Time Religion." Do you remember that one? It's believed to be an African American spiritual, which then became popular among white evangelicals in the late 1800s. I also love a hilarious version of the song that was written by Pete Seeger in the 1980s, in which he took the view that if you wanted to sing about old-time religions, there's a lot more old-time religions than just early Christianity. So he wrote verses about the Egyptian gods and the Greek gods. Of course, my favorite verse is the one that went, "We will pray with those old druids. They drink fermented fluids, waltzing naked through the woods. And it's good enough for me. Give me that old." So anyway, that's a funny version. Has nothing to do with the sermon. Just wanted to share that with you. But here's the thing. As I've become a pastor with some years of experience, the song, particularly the title, has begun to take on yet another meaning. Now when I hear that title, I hear it as a symbol of a temptation that we face as followers of Jesus. When I hear these words, "Give me that old time religion," I think of the temptation which we all too often face to take the good news of Jesus, which leads away from the old way of life to a new way of life, which leads away from old religion to a new way of faith. Now when I hear those words, "Give me that old time religion," it makes me think of the temptation we often face to take the new way of life in Jesus and twist it and change it right back into the old time religion that Jesus came to set us free from. Give me that old time religion. These words for me point to the temptation we as Jesus followers face to take the new things that Christ has given us and replace it with the same old, deadly, worldly way of living that Jesus came to save us from. Do you see how tragic that is? We're not just tempted to abandon Jesus' ways of mercy and love and grace and fall back into our brokenness, the sin that leads to our own self-destruction. Even worse, sometimes we're tempted to twist what Jesus says to try to change the way of Jesus so that we can keep on following the way of the world and at the same time convince ourselves we're still following Jesus. Give me that old time religion can sound a lot like saying, "Jesus, I don't really like the radical change you're asking me to make in my heart, so let's just find a way to take my old fear-driven, self-centered ways and tweak them a bit in your name and call it following Jesus." And the next thing you know, instead of emptying ourselves, instead of giving up our power and prestige, instead of giving of ourselves for the sake of revealing love and mercy in the world, instead we're fighting to preserve our power, to protect what is ours, to build up our own security and prestige and properties and influence and wealth and security control and call it following Jesus. This is the temptation. Instead of believing that Jesus calls us to serve God and serve others, we want to think that Jesus came to serve us. Instead of believing that Jesus calls us to proclaim the reign of God, to proclaim hope and justice and mercy and forgiveness and love to the world. We focus on the idea that Jesus just came to bless me and mine. Indeed, that's what I see that Jesus is talking about in today's text in Luke. Last week we heard that Jesus is insistent upon us looking forward toward changing the way we live, not looking back at the old ways. And today we continue hearing that Jesus is now expanding his ministry beyond the borders of his hometown and the neighboring villages around the Lake of Galilee. He's also expanding beyond the 12 male disciples and several women disciples who are named in the Gospels. He's sending out 72 more, or maybe 70. It depends on which English translation you're reading. The reason there's variation is because about half the oldest copies of Luke say 70 and about half say 72. And that's because in Genesis chapter 10 in the Hebrew text, it lists all the known nations of the world and there's 70. But in the Greek translation that was commonly used in Jesus' day, there are 72 listed. So it doesn't matter. 70, 72, both are in the old text. Either way, Jesus is being depicted. Luke is telling us symbolically, Jesus is sending disciples to all nations, all peoples, all 70 or 72 nations that they knew of. Now, these are the details that Luke gives us about Jesus sending. He sent them in pairs, not in a large group, which would be threatening or frightening, not enough to have any strength or power, just two together. And as he sends them, he says, "The harvest is great, the laborers are few. I'm sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. You're not going to be in control. You're not going to have power. There'll be way more of them than you. But the fact is, if you go as wolves, you won't change the world. You'll just add to the brokenness. You'll make it worse. So I send you as lambs, vulnerable, without power, with only the good news of God's mercy to carry. Indeed, don't carry any money. Don't carry extra clothes. Don't carry extra shoes. Jesus says, I send you without resources. I send you to be dependent on those whom you meet. Don't quiz people on the road seeking out the best places to go. Just go wherever the road takes you. Enter whatever house you find and speak only words of peace. If the people you meet return their peace for yours, stay a while and share my good news. Offer peace, heal the sick. Receive whatever is offered in gratitude. If someone doesn't welcome you, shake the dust off your shoes and move on. Don't respond to a lack of hospitality with anger. Don't respond to hostility with hostility. Just walk away, shake the dust off, and as you leave, share the good news again. God's kingdom has come near." Do you see, from beginning to end, Jesus' instructions for this big group of disciples is a model for our discipleship, for our ministry together as the people of God here in this place. And they're a caution, a warning even, to resist the temptation to twist following Jesus into being about us. Jesus is clear in these instructions that that's not what it's about. It's not about us. It's not about what we get, our blessings, our getting close to God, our building up the church, our finding what we need or what we want. No. Friends, this is the good news. These disciples are sent as we are sent, not to proclaim a new power structure, not to raise up a rebellion or a resistance or an army, not to seek out good fortune, not to start a new holy nation, not to build a wealthy church. No, none of that. Jesus was simply sending disciples then, and Jesus is sending us now to proclaim the good news. The reign of God is near. God is with us. God is filled with mercy and compassion. We'll lift up the broken, the oppressed, the downtrodden with love and healing and hope. This is the good news. It runs through the Gospel of Luke from beginning to end. Just a few chapters before, Jesus preached his first sermon. You may remember that. He proclaimed to his neighbors and friends in his home synagogue these words: "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Lord has anointed me. God has sent me to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to captives, to proclaim recovery of sight to the blind, to liberate the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, in which debt is forgiven and property returned to those who've lost." This is the Jesus whom we follow, whom we're sent to proclaim. Not proclaiming a God whom we manipulate and please and wheedle so that we can get worldly things, a God of the old ways, a God of sacrifice or warfare or vengeance or earthly rewards. No. Jesus proclaims a God of hope and blessing and peace for all people of all nations, and especially for those whom the world has neglected, abused, pushed down. Jesus proclaims a God who sets people free. A God who proclaims mercy and hope and love for all who cry out in suffering and pain and despair. And we are invited. We are privileged to be a part of it. This is the good news. We are Jesus' disciples. We are the ones being sent. We are the messengers. We are the proclaimers. We live the good news of God's love and God's help for all who are in need of mercy and hope. May God give us the spirit and the strength and the love to go as we are sent. Amen.